Christian greetings to our dear brothers and sisters. Greet you in the name of Jesus, the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. So we certainly want to follow Jesus and, like he says, love him and keep his commandments. It's a blessing to be here. We had a good worship service a week ago. Several worship services, as far as that's concerned, in the congregation in Paris, Missouri. And certainly want to thank you for your prayers on our behalf that weekend. May God bless you for that. And also, they certainly had a lot of support. Each evening, the sanctuary was closer to being full, and I think Saturday evening and Sunday or Sunday morning and Sunday evening, it was pretty well jammed. So they certainly got a lot of support, and they really appreciated that. And they asked that we would continue to pray for them, and especially Steve Slaybaugh, and entering the ministry, that God chose him. And yes, let's continue to pray for the ministers, not just ours, but for all the ministers of God. In our day and age in which we are, the word needs to be preached and go out without fear or favor of men. And we enjoyed the being here this morning and the singing and the lesson, Sunday school lesson. If we take that to heart, I believe we'd have enough to go on to think about. But, you know, it's customary that we have a message. And I thank God that he has ordained it this way and instituted the church. And also, I'm glad to see Brother Jay and Sister Luann here this morning. Didn't know they were in the community. Certainly, our prayers went up in behalf of Jay being up in New York. So it's good to see you again, and hope to see more of you. I don't know what your plans are, but... let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Okay, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And so here we have, if you want a title for the message, priority, or a matter of priority for the message. And here we have two sisters, Mary and Martha. In spite of the fact that they're sisters, they are opposite of each other. They have, when Jesus came to visit their house, and the difference became evident, and it seemed to cause some trouble. Well, I know of some sisters that had problems too. Wasn't necessarily active, and but they enjoy different things, and of course it's natural, I guess, to have some difficulties. Nothing real serious, maybe, but sisters. And the Lord tarries, we'll have a little bit of that with brothers as well today. Yet, so anyhow, it caused problems, and we can just see the scene. Martha, she's out there in the kitchen, and she's just hustling and bustling, and she wants everything just so for the exceptional, the precious guest that she's preparing for. It's he was an honored guest. And there was Mary. You know, Martha was the go-getter, the one who really cared about the meals. She had a special gift in that, possibly. And Mary, of course, in contrast, was the opposite. And she sat there. She can just sit there. And I know some girls that can sit there and just the world can go on. They're just, involved in maybe reading a book or something. And Mary was that way. She was the studious one. She was the one that thought things through, a deep thinker, and possibly wholly engrossed with listening to Jesus as he taught. Now, I'm not sure just what he was teaching them sisters for, and we don't even read that Lazarus was there, but they had their brother Lazarus as well. And so Mary hardly heard the rattle of pots and pans or kettles or whatever Martha was doing. She was just listening, and she just heard all those words that Jesus was doing. And Martha, as time went on, she got irked so bad, she even came, seems like to me, she even blamed Jesus for the fact that Mary wasn't out there helping. Because he said, don't you see here that my sister, she just sits there and I have to serve you alone. And Jesus' answer was not something that Martha probably really appreciated, because he lovingly rebuked her for her, she was so busy, and she was probably in her everyday life, she was thinking about things and worried about things that she wouldn't even have to worry about. And Jesus just told her that She's just worried about things, and Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things. But when Jesus, what Jesus was really saying, you know, really, was there anything wrong with Martha's ideas there of really making a good meal? I don't guess there was. The Bible actually speaks in favor of being hospitable. I went through that qualification for a minister couple. They need to be hospitable. They need to meet visitors in church, and they need to offer meals and overnight beds if they need them, and just something like that. Hospitality, given to hospitality. And the writer in Hebrews says that be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for that thereby many have entertained angels unawares. So Martha was only doing what any hospitable housekeeper would do, I guess. But still, there was something that Jesus rebuked her for, and he pointed out to her some more important things. Spiritual needs should always have precedence above material needs. And that's why we're talking about the matter of priorities, having our priorities set right. And, of course, this lesson that Mary and Martha, that is written here for us, is also a very broad lesson. It fits a lot of us in a lot of different areas as far as when it comes to priorities. It's right to earn a living, but it must not interfere with our devotion to God, and that we have God first in our lives. In Mark 8:16, we read, What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There's no profit there. But in Genesis, it says that the man shall eat his bread and the sweat of his brow, or sweat of his face. But then this truth is overridden and overshadowed by a truth that Jesus, in Jesus' own words in Matthew 4:4, where he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that word, that bread of heaven, that lesson that Jesus was sharing with Mary and Martha, and I don't know, Lazarus might have been sitting there listening too. I don't know. It doesn't say that he was. But that is more important than that meal that Martha was preparing. That's the thought that we get from this lesson here. And and we have other examples that we want to look at. And the next one is just a few pages on further into the Bible, Luke 12. Luke 12, verses 13 to 23, where Jesus was at a certain place. In verse 13, chapter 12, verse 13, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Now here there was two brothers having a problem. And I don't know, probably one wanted something. Their father and mother had died, and one wanted something, and the other one wanted it too, or whatever it might have been. Anyhow, sometimes people have problems in when mom and daddy die and things are left over and then they need to divide it. And it's needful that we look at things in a correct perspective. And as children, I know when my parents passed on, One of the siblings said that we were so kind and so good to each other, it didn't even make a good deal. So we just, if somebody wanted this, want that, that's all right. Whatever. Anyhow, there's no use to get all cracked up because these material things are all going to pass, even though they've got sentimental value. Some of them do, and I know some of that stuff. But anyhow, here, this brother come to Jesus. And I don't know, was he a disciple? Was he a constant follower of Jesus Christ or not? But he had his priorities mixed up. He was not, he was looking at things that were less important. Verse 14, and he said unto him, Man, who hath made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. Let's not get our focus on material things and just come on and this, I don't know, Jesus said this here, and I don't know, did he know some details about these two brothers? But maybe one wanted most of the stuff and the other one was supposed to just be happy about it. But anyhow, the beware of covetousness. Coveting things, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of things which he possesseth. Here the other week, I was in that storage building down at our place, and I told Louise a little later on, I said, we've got to get rid of this stuff. There's a whole building full of stuff, and it's packed in there in 97 when we moved off the farm. Why are we keeping all this stuff? We need to get rid of it. Well, I don't know. Children all want to be there when we unload that building, and maybe we'll have to deal with some. One wants this, one wants that, and whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying that. But anyhow, that's let's not covet things, and the things that we possess. There's so many things that we might want, but let's discern between wants and needs as well. So, we go on here in verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man, rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room for to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. He come to a conclusion. Well, maybe it took him a night to sleep over it. But anyhow, he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. He was sitting pretty good, wasn't he? But I had to think when I was studying over this here, I had to think of Job. Job was sitting pretty good too, wasn't he? And all of a sudden, in one day's time, I believe it was, everything was gone. His family was even gone, his children. And yet he clung to his integrity. And here we have this man. He's sitting real good. Verse 19, "And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Well, he was all set up. He had everything he needed. But he forgot that our life is uncertain. He forgot that he was going to die the next day. He didn't know it, of course. But we don't know either. Just got word last night that Henry made mention in the prayer room about the Gospel Express. Well, Nelson Koblenz's mother passed away, was it yesterday? And she was in her 80s. So we just don't know when our time will come, whether we're young or old. And so let's not have this this idea or this mentality that we're going to get things and we're going to stash them up and we've got all this stuff and we're just going to be all right. We want to take, the older I get, the more I realize that taking a day at a time and keeping our priorities straight is very, very important. And so this man, he was everything was just right. But verse 20 there, he says, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be that you have provided?" And in fact, God provided it, really. And that's what I was thinking this fall already so often, how wonderful God has blessed our community and our nation as far as that's concerned. But it seems like there's few communities that are having, from what I could learn and overheard, there's very few communities that have had a summer like Henry County and surrounding counties, with all the moisture, the water, and the bushels and bushels of beans, 100 bushel beans or whatever, I don't know. It's just, God is the provider of all these things. Let us not be selfish and think we done this. It was God. And this man was, he was so busy and so satisfied with himself. And he accumulated a lot of things. And he thought, well, this is just going to be all right. But before he got his barns broken down and even the his fruits in, his goods, the message came that he will die. And so it is in verse 21. "So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." Oh, we must consider. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Lay not up treasures for yourself on earth, where the rust and the thieves want to steal and so forth." But he says, "Lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal." And someday, brothers and sisters, we can go to be with our treasure in heaven. And these things here will all pass away. Recently, again, had listened to some frustrations and complaints about our government, and our country is just going down the drain and going on. Try to concern the man, encourage the man to look for the good things instead of just worrying. And we need to pray for our government. In spite of the fact some people think it's beyond the idea of praying for anymore. It's downhill, it's only going to go one way. Well, let's just look for the good and appreciate it and thank God for what we do have, rather than fuss and fume and whine and moan and groan and stuff like that. Let's just appreciate what we do have. We people are forgetting God. I know that. This man, he forgot God. And people are forgetting God, and they're going on their own ways. But God forbid that the Christian community would lose sight of this eternal kingdom that will never, never pass away. That's where we are serving in, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God. We are in kingdom work, and we shall abide in him and he in us, and we will not be disappointed. That kingdom that Jesus established, that God established through Jesus, will not pass away. It will be forever. And someday, the other day, we were at a wedding again. I really enjoyed it and appreciated it. And we just had to think again. We were invited. We had an invitation. And we all have an invitation to that marriage feast of the Lamb, that great feast that we read about in Revelation 19. So, if this man just didn't have the privilege of having many years to enjoy his earthly treasures. And according to what we read here, he didn't have any treasures in heaven. And he said unto his disciples in verse 22, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you will eat, neither for your body, what you will put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You know, we've got food, we've got clothes, and the Hebrew writer says, let us be content with such things as we have. We become discontent. So God is trying to encourage us to keep our priorities straight, and let's have those things that we need, and let's cut down on the things we just want, on that stuff like we got hoarded up. Let's get rid of it. Some of it goes to junk, others maybe somebody else's treasure, I don't know. But anyhow, the Lord has provided so much for us, and let us appreciate and realize the blessedness. We are so blessed. If you want to turn with me to Psalms 39, had to think about a psalm there that David wrote. David is here. It says David's care of his thoughts. Well, let's keep correct thoughts. Let's have our thoughts in the right category of the brevity and vanity of life. David got upset through this deal here, but then we find something different in the ending of it. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, and I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. Lord, he says, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. We really don't understand and know how frail we really are. So may we meditate and think upon these things. in Psalms 90, I believe it is, it says there, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The German says it a little different. It says, it would say, teach us to die. Lehre uns bedenken, dass wir sterben müssen. Man müsse sterben. And is what he's saying, but it's all the same. We get the same, but I think the German there is a little clearer. But teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This first chapter in Proverbs is, and Proverbs on in speaks about wisdom. Wisdom. with all thy wisdom is the principal thing. So with all thy getting, but with all thy getting, get. What if, I think I'm twisted around, don't I, Henry? But anyhow, you know what I'm saying. That we know with this wisdom and discretion to put our knowledge unto work in the fear of the Lord. Something like that. I believe we understand that. Okay, here in 39, Lord, make me to know, again in verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. See, love. I think it includes the women as well. Verse 6, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. And what does that disquieted mean? They're in unrest. We're not resting in peace and joy in the Lord. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Seems like David changed as he come on down there in his writing. Deliver me from all my transgressions and make me not a reproach of the foolish. Deliver me from my undoneness and my lack of discretion and my lack of keeping my priorities straight. I think David was just concerned about that. Deliver me from all my transgressions and make me not the reproach of a foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. Was David being chastened? I didn't really get into this, but there was some affliction involved and some submission on David's part, and the divine hand of God was upon him. And he says in verse 11, when thou with rebukes doest correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. We're just passing through, strangers and pilgrims, just passing through. Appreciated that song this morning concerning that. And he says, oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. He's talking about his body being out in the cemetery. David's tomb is marked over there in Jerusalem. Supposedly he was buried right there, but I don't know. It's just a mark. Anyhow, so let us turn to Mark chapter 10 for another lesson in keeping our priorities straight. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. He says here, well, I'm not in there. What is my... I think I got my the wrong one to begin with. Yeah, verse 13, chapter 10. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. The disciples had their priorities mixed up in this particular case. They thought Jesus won't have time. I think in one of the other gospels, it seems like they thought he didn't have any time. Take him away. Jesus is busy. Just don't bother him. But Jesus was concerned about the little children. And as we bring our children to Jesus today, Jesus still loves them. And in a spiritual sense, I believe he takes them. If we commit our children to the Lord, he takes them. And he lays his hand upon them. And he blesses them. So it's very important that we don't forget that. We need to give our children to the Lord and teach them and train them in his holy word. And then he goes on, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what must I do to make it to that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good?" He says, "There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And this young man answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." Now here was another man that had the great possessions, verse 22, "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Yes, all these possessions that we have, let us not lay our hearts on it. Proverbs somewhere says that if riches befall us, don't set your heart on them. And so another man here that had to make a decision, but he made the wrong decision. He walked away from an opportunity that he had to become a child of God. Had his priorities completely mixed up. And Jesus, in his heart, I can just imagine how Jesus loved him and longed to share with him his love and his goodness, and from God, the goodness of God as well. Beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." So let us take heed in this thing of priorities, and have a spiritual treasure in heaven. That's what he says. Follow me. He says, "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou wilt have a treasure in heaven." That thing was registered in heaven if he would have went and sold that stuff. But he had a love for material things, and therefore he was grieved and walked away. And it was a real hindrance to him. And so... Verse 23, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Now it says, "And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches?" He made it a little clearer on that then, that trust in riches. Now, I'm not saying that every rich man that has a lot of riches or money or material things, I'm not saying that he won't get into heaven. But it comes a little clearer through in the next expression there. How hard shall it be for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And so let us not lay our hearts on these our possessions, but let us do like the Apostle Paul taught to the Corinthians. He says, with those things that you have, you should have them as if you didn't have them. You know, take care of the things that God gives us, but let's not trust in these things to get us anywhere. And so we have this this thing of coming back to Mary and Martha. Turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, and the 12th chapter, the Supper at Bethany. And here we have Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Those that love riches, I think he was talking to Judas. Judas was a thief. He was selfish. He was money hungry and possibly dishonest. I don't know. Well, I guess he took from the bag and gave 30 pieces of silver to the priest for telling him where to find Jesus. So, Judas had his priorities completely upside down. He murmured about this, and of course, Martha was serving. Mary was anointing the feet of Jesus. There was no struggle between them. I think they pretty well accepted each other and what they were, and she was serving, and he was, and Martha was serving, and Mary was at the feet of Jesus, where she loved to be. Oh, that song, Sitting at the Feet of Jesus. I remember singing that one when I was a young boy, before I knew what it was all about, really, because my mom sang that song quite often. So, may we truly take heed and check our priorities and get them lined up. I have an anonymous, a copy of an anonymous poet that captured the essence of these truths about keeping our priorities right. And it says here, he wrote, dust if you must. Now, he was talking about working, I think. Dust if you must, but wouldn't it be better to paint a picture or write a letter, bake a cake or plant a seed? Ponder the difference between want and need. Dust if you must, but there is not much time. With rivers to swim and mountains to climb, songs to sing and books to read, friends to cherish and a life to lead. In other words, take time to smell the roses along the way. Dust if you must, but the world's out there, with sun in your eyes and wind in your hair, a flutter of snow, a shower of rain, this day will not come round again. Dust if you must, but bear in mind, old age will come and it's not kind. And when you go as you must, you yourself will make more dust. And that's true. We will make more dust out there in the cemetery when our bodies will be buried out there God told Adam, "Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return." But let's realize that there's more to it than that. Life is real. Life is earnest. And the grave is not its goal. "To dust thou art, and to dust returnest" was not spoken of the soul. The soul goes otherwise, goes to another place. So let us keep let's keep our eyes on the Lord and not on the worldly things. Paul told the, I'm not sure now where it was. Is it the Philippians or the, anyhow, maybe it was in the Corinthians, that the things that we see are temporal. The things that cannot be seen are eternal. So let's look at the things that are eternal and keep our eyes on the Lord. And let us check our priority list. Let's live for Jesus in heaven, not for self in the world. Like David said in Psalm 39, verse 13, "Oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more." Let's check these things out before we go hence and be no more. So thank you for your prayers. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Thank you.